the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. From tonight's epistle reading, the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 11, verse 26. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Tonight's Mass of the Lord's Supper, in which we commemorate that Last Supper on Maundy Thursday, begins what is called the Sacred Triduum, the three holy days of today, tomorrow, and the Easter Vigil. The liturgy tonight is very similar to the same as we had last Sunday, Palm Sunday. That liturgy on Palm Sunday began with a commemoration of our Lord's entry into Jerusalem in triumph, and there was almost a note of fun in the procession into the church. But after that procession came the Mass, in which we record the suffering of Christ and his death, and the long reading of the Passion of Christ, according to St. Luke, brought in a somber, serious note, and the hosannas of the palm procession soon faded. We soon left behind the crowd in their joyful welcome, as we anticipated a change of mood. At every Eucharist we sing Hosanna in the highest, recalling every time that Christ is our triumphant King, as he seemed to be on that first Palm Sunday. But at the same time as we sing Hosanna in the highest, we remember the night in which he said, "Do this in remembrance of me." It is the same tonight, the same sort of change in mood as it was last Sunday. To this point in time, in this opening of the Mass, it has been a glorious celebration of the Last Supper, when Christ gave us the Eucharist. The gold vestments, flowers on the altar, and all the bells ringing during the Gloria are a wonderful note of praise and glory. But from that point of the Gloria, the bells will not be rung again until that exciting moment in the Easter Vigil, when the Gloria is sung again and all the bells are rung. But for now, tonight, they are now silenced. For now, we go to Calvary. Shortly, we will have the commemoration of the amazing thing that only St. John records in his version of the Last Supper, that occasion when Jesus washed the feet of the 12 apostles, including the betrayer Judas. There is a note in St. Luke's Gospel that we heard tonight about Jesus saying he is among them as one who serves. And that is the whole point of the washing of the feet, that Jesus shows himself to the apostles as their servant. And in St. John's Gospel he says to them, "You call me Master and Lord, and rightly I am, but here I am among you as one who serves." In this washing of the feet, which we will commemorate symbolically shortly, we see our Blessed Lord's great humility, which is to climax on the cross, when he is the most humblest of all men. The Mass will move on from the washing of the feet with more seriousness and solemnity, and at the end it will conclude with a solemn procession of the sacrament through the church into the Lady Chapel, where we have set up what is called the Altar of Repose. Although we will honour the Blessed Sacrament in the usual triumphant way with incense and candles and singing, with all the dignity and reverence that is due to the Holy Eucharist, this will be no joyful procession. For it is the procession to Gethsemane. There in the chapel is set up the remembrance of that garden where Jesus spent the whole night in prayer and agony. As is a beautiful representation of that garden, but we cannot forget that it was a garden of great trial for Jesus. abandoned by his 12. It is where he was betrayed, arrested, and taken away to a clandestine trial in the middle of the night to begin the heart of his passion. In that garden, we are all invited to watch with him and enter into the mystery of that lone vigil in which he begged the Father that if it be possible, the cup might pass him by. But in saying that, we then come to his immortal words, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done," followed by, "Up, my betrayer is at hand." The moods and emotions of this liturgy in this night is almost too much to be captured just in this short Eucharist. And yet it goes on because we conclude with the stripping of the altar, when the altar has all its finery and linen and gold removed, a ceremony which calls to mind that awful moment when Christ was stripped of his garments before his crucifixion. At this moment, right now, we might be just contemplating the first Eucharist and the gift of Holy Communion, perhaps pondering the many times we've been blessed by our communions. Perhaps we might pause and thank God for this wonderful sacrament, for so we ought. The glory of the Mass thus far encourages us to give reverence and glory. But soon we must follow this joyful celebration with Gethsemane. Indeed, when we entered the church tonight, there was already a hint of gloom. No holy water to bless ourselves with, no lamps alight, and the tabernacle empty of the presence of Jesus. It was a strange feeling, a strange mixture of emotions even before we began. This strange mixture is repeated in the words of St. Paul. "As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death." Although John, in his chapter 6 of his Gospel, talks about the life of Christ in the Eucharist, Paul wants to remind us of the death of Christ. Nothing about the joy of the resurrection in what St. Paul says, nothing about the sacrament being the life of Christ, nothing about the eternal life promised us through this sacrament, no reference even to the Passover. For St. Paul, the Eucharist is simply a proclamation of the death of Christ. He says that whenever we receive Holy Communion, Christ's death is proclaimed, and we must assume proclaimed within us. We are fortunate that St. John does give us teaching about the real presence in his chapter 6 to balance the account of the Last Supper, which has the emphasis on the foot washing. But not so for St. Paul. Also in Galatians chapter 6, St. Paul talks about glorying in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, not the glory of the Word made flesh, but glorying in the cross. So even in this joyful Mass, the cross overshadows, and tonight leads into tomorrow. Tonight, Jesus does not institute a memorial feast to remember a dead hero, but a sacrifice, just like the Old Testament sacrifices. But this sacrifice has a difference. This sacrifice is eternal and once for all. It never needs repeating and will always be present when two or three come together to do this in remembrance of me. Whenever we come to celebrate the Eucharist, we are not repeating that sacrifice, nor are we commemorating our Lord's death as a past event. No, at every Eucharist we enter into the mystery of that great sacrifice which Jesus offered on the first Good Friday. That sacrifice is eternal and lasts forever, and every Eucharist makes it present. For at the first Eucharist, Jesus muttered these words for all time, "Take, eat, this is my body, which will be given up for you." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.